Amherst Eclectic, and I am back to discuss the previous podcast I did about narcissistic mama's boys and the videos that I had seen on that, and how it explains a lot of what you see around you with relationships with men and their mothers and their abandoned fathers who have abandoned the family and or gone off and married someone else, which is also abandonment, whether people like to admit that or not, and the effect that that has on the family. And it's sort of a cycle of abuse that continues from one generation to the other, because you're creating another narcissistic son, another narcissistic man. So I have related that in what you see in our society continually happening, and why we're ending up with so many abusive men who then, once they have a very almost too close relationship with their mother after their father has abandoned them, they resent and sometimes hate their mother, but they won't speak it or talk about it, and they go out and they find a very strong woman, a single woman who is successful, and then try to tear her down. So that's where the abuse comes in. And then when that woman leaves them, then they stalk her. You can't have, you know, no one else can have you, only I can have you, you know, you're not allowed to leave me, da da da, you know, that sort of thing happens. So I listened to those videos, and it was very shocking how that all relates in that dynamic and why it's happening. And I have said a lot of our relationships, a lot of the things I've noticed in my life, I've taken psychology classes and then realized it was textbook. Like, what you've experienced in your relationships is just a textbook, that they have already figured out what you were going through step by step, how it was going to happen and how it was going to come out. And if you had just been a psychology major, you probably would have gotten out of that relationship, because you would have realized that it was going nowhere, right? So, or nowhere good, let's put it that way, or it was going to end eventually. So I looked up, I decided I'm going to try and look up some sort of psychological reference to it, and I found a psychology article about it. And it's basically listed under narcissism, but I looked up narcissistic mama's boys. That was what I put in the title, the search. And this is called Sons of Narcissistic Mothers. Now, I guess in some way, a mother who ends up single raising her son and has this enmeshed, too close relationship with her son, because then the son becomes the man of the house and replaces her husband who has left many times, an abusive husband who has left. Either he's left because she's kicked him out, or he's left because he's left for another woman and is having another family with somebody else. This affects the son mostly, because they are then pulled into this adult role that they shouldn't be in, and mothers are confiding in them things they shouldn't confide in them, etc. Okay, so, how narcissistic mothers manipulate and damage their sons. All children of narcissists suffer. Son of narcissistic mothers suffer damage to their autonomy, self-worth, and future relationships with women. Narcissists lack empathy and ability to nurture their children. Now, I'm not real sure if this kind of embodies the dynamic that we were talking about, but there are some checkpoints in here that she mentioned, so let's hang in there. They don't see them as individuals, but as extensions of themselves. Their children's feelings and needs are neglected and criticized, while their own take precedence. Narcissists feel entitled and insist on getting their way. They exact compliance through control, manipulation, guilt, and shame. It's their way or the highway. And if you didn't oblige, or you don't oblige, they punish you with attacks, coldness, and withholding. Insecurity drives their insatiable unrealistic needs for high regard and admiration. Let's read that again. I don't think people understand when they're dealing with a narcissist. They think a narcissist is full of themselves, loves themselves, is very secure, is very confident. But really, this is the truth about a narcissist, right? Their insecurity drives their insatiable, unrealistic needs for high regard and admiration. The reason that they need to have you see them as perfect all the time is because they don't have any self-esteem. They are very insecure from what they've experienced growing up, whatever hardships that they've gone through, that now they're adults and they're out there, you know, like most of us do, looking for something in a partner that is going to make up for what they didn't get from daddy or mommy, or in their home life as a child growing up, or in their friendships or whatever. So remember that narcissists, their insecurity drives their insatiable, unrealistic needs for high regard and admiration. And that's the thing that I think people miss. You know, when somebody's overshooting, it's usually because they're looking for something they didn't get in the past. Okay. Or that they don't have within themselves, that they can't give to themselves, or they don't know how to give to themselves, right? Okay, they take offense easily. They're triggered. They're triggering contempt and rage. So if you say anything that makes a narcissist feel like you're criticizing them, man, they get mad, don't they? Triggers that anger, doesn't it? Okay. Because they lack boundaries, which they do, they project, they shame and blame others for their own emotional discomfort, which they can't tolerate. It's very, very hard for narcissists to show you their emotions. If they do, it's usually what they just said. Rage and anger is how their emotions come out. And don't feel sorry for them. I know a lot of people say, well, he's like that because he's, been hurt when he was a kid, blah, blah, blah. Okay, don't make excuses for a narcissist. A narcissist needs to learn how to control that. And they need to learn how to grow up and mature. And sometimes the best way for a narcissist to grow up is to be left alone or to be walked away from, because they're learning once again that didn't work, did it? You know, you need to change. You need to look inward at yourself and figure out why you're doing what you're doing, right? Okay. Dynamics between sons and narcissistic mothers. Narcissism varies in degrees and kind and with each individual personality and values. There are narcissistic mothers who are disinterested in their children, others who are overly involved. Now, these are the ones we were talking about, the enmeshed mother that is overly involved in her child's life, but still controlling, right? Some act aggressive while others act caring or seductive. And we were talking about that too, how the enmeshed mother relationship can go too far. And some have led to sexual relationships, which is kind of sick, but it happens. The following are some common patterns though your experience may differ. Again, not everything in these videos and what I'm talking about to you, or even in this article, is going to relate to you, but you will find bits and pieces because everyone's an individual, everyone's different, right? Okay, neglect. Narcissistic mothers who feel burdened by motherhood neglect their children, yet shame and criticize them sometimes for being too needy or childlike. They are needy themselves and can't bear their child's needs. So that's another reason when you get into a relationship with a narcissist, you know, they're not going to be able to give you anything. They're constantly taking because they have this void inside of them, right? Okay. They might demand that their young son be a man and favor one child and demonstrably ignore or belittle another. And that's what we were talking about too, and that I saw in the Mama's Narcissistic Mama's Boys videos, how a mother will pick that son to be the replacement man in her life. Okay, and that's the favor, right? Here we are, we're at the enmeshment. Instead of neglect, other narcissistic mothers are enmeshed. They use their children for their narcissistic supply. And what they mean by that, narcissistic supply, is narcissists need to be praised. They need to be told constantly how great they are. They need to have that constant feed into their insecurities to, remind them every day that they are not in, aren't what they know they are. Not exactly on the ball, not exactly secure, not exactly really a man. They're screwed up and they don't want to look at themselves. They want to, they want you to be a mirror. They want you to be that narcissistic mirror. That's the whole tale of Narcissus, who, he drowned because he kept looking into the mirror at himself because he was admiring himself too much. Well, what you are to a narcissist is their mirror. And if you are not mirroring back what they want to hear, then they get angry, right? Okay. Although a mother may appear independent, she may be emotionally needy and foster mutual dependency with her son through adoring and controlling behavior. She might depend on her son to support her emotionally, listen to her, be a companion, or attend to her physical needs and responsibilities. When he's an adult, she might rely on him to make decisions and manage her affairs and finances. Seen that one. My ex did that. He was constantly there for his mother, more than his brother was. And he was the younger brother who had been married, who had been born 17 years after. Like, his mom was pregnant at the same time as his sister was pregnant with him. So it was 17 to 20 years difference between him and his siblings. And yet she still put that pressure on him. Okay. Above all, she uses and exploits her son to supply her with attention, admiration, and to fill her wants and needs. She makes him feel loved, important, and valued, reinforcing his dependency on her. However, it's only her at her pleasure, right? Hence, her own involvement with her son can camouflage her toxic parenting. There's usually a high price to pay for his attempt at autonomy. So if he wants to, cut those apron strings, she's going to make sure he pays a really high price for cutting those apron strings. Right? No, she may ignore him. She may put more attention to her other children, whatever. Okay. Through her manipulation with anger, shame, guilt, self-pity, and or martyrdom, he learns to put her wishes and her needs first and feels obligated to do so. And they talked about this in the videos, and we talked about this in the other podcast. These mothers are basically grooming their sons from a young age. Once the father ran off or left, right? They're grooming their sons to be their partners. And they may not even know they're doing it. Okay, idolization and criticism. Many narcissistic mothers idealize their sons, their young sons. They build his confidence and sense of importance as he matures and challenges her control. She disparages his emerging individuality and tries to correct and change him. One of the things that I don't think they mention in those videos or in these articles that I've been reading is that's another thing I've noticed about these narcissistic mama's boys. They never want to move away. They are always within a stone's throw away from their mothers. They live in houses very close to their mothers. They never leave. They never have any space away from their mother. Even if they go for a little while overseas for something, or they move to another city for college or whatever, their mothers are still very involved in their lives. And then they move right back home next to mommy. I know people who live across the street from their mother. I know people who live, 5 minutes from their mother. You know, the best thing that could happen to a narcissistic mama's boy is to totally cut the apron strings and move away from his mother for good. Because that's when he will finally realize, he'll come out of that, trance that he's in, that sickness that he's in because of that enmeshment. And then he'll realize, oh my God, I was not an independent individual. My mom was controlling me. My mom was, guilting me into things and making me feel like I had to take care of her. And, and they know that down deep inside. They have that anger down deep inside, that resentment that they have to be there. But they won't leave. They won't move away. It's just a sick cycle. It's crazy. Anyway. Alright, to boost her ego, she may brag about her son to her friends, but she is critical at home. So out in public, she brags, and oh, what a great son, look at him, blah, 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 blah. He's hearing all this out in public, and then she gets home and she criticizes. That's basically what an abusive narcissist does, but okay. In response, he may rebel, and he will incur her rage or try to please her to be accepted. His fall from grace can be confusing and traumatic. It's exasperated if another child is born. He loses his specialness, and a sibling rivalry can be extreme. Which, I think I had narcissistic parents. I really do, because there is an extreme sibling rivalry between two of my siblings. One of my oldest sibling doesn't have that rivalry with me or any of us. I don't feel that rivalry with any of them. But my two siblings do feel it with me. They're constantly wanting to better me. They're constantly trying to do better than me. My oldest sibling never felt that. No matter how successful I got, he never felt that way. But my other two siblings do, and I think it's a result of being raised by a narcissistic mother. Now, my dad didn't leave, but, there are other ways you can be a narcissistic mother. But anyway, triangulation. Marital relationships for narcissists lack intimacy. And it's because they already have a marriage in their life. Their mother. They're married to their mothers. We talked about this in the other podcast. Therefore, a husband may avoid a narcissistic woman with work. So he may be an overworker. Constantly working. To compensate, and because she's emotionally needy, she will triangulate, bring in a third, be it work, a lover, an addiction, or her children. She may use her son as a confidant or companion. Children are ideal subjects because they idolize their parents and can easily be controlled. Now, as far as the work thing goes, I have seen men who are mama's boys with their narcissistic mothers constantly be working, and then it becomes a part of them. Like, they, even when they come home from a job, they're working on something else, working on stuff around the house, working on cars, working on motorcycles, working on projects that they've come up with that they need to get done or do. But they're constantly working, and you're like, why can't you just relax? Why can't you just sit back? Because that was their way of getting away from their narcissistic mother. In the back of their minds, they didn't know what they were doing. But while they were growing up with her, it was their way to get away from her, an excuse to be away from her, is to, you know, do projects, work on cars, whatever. So that they didn't have to explain why they didn't want to be around their mother, right? Okay. It's worse for a son if his father is absent, rages, is violent, or has mental or drug problems. Which, you know, I know guys where their fathers just took off, start another family, they never saw them again. I know guys who, you know, they have alcoholic, drug addict fathers, or they had rageful fathers. And I see that result in them, right? All right. Then to survive, the son may seek comfort in addiction or further bond with his mother. And I've seen that happen. You know, they bond with their mother as protecting. They justify it in their head that they're protecting their mom from their dad, right? Or they seek an addiction, you know, for themselves to, you know, stop the pain, help forget, whatever. Okay. Seduction and the Oedipal issues. And I think the reason that all of this kind of came up for me is I did another podcast on here about the Oedipus effect, right? Not just for men, but for women as well. Because I was seeing a lot of people that I knew, acquaintances, work people, whatever, I would see their spouse, and then I would see their dad or their mom. And their spouse looked exactly and acted exactly like their dad and mom. And it was happening so often that I was like, this is weird. Like, these people are marrying their parents. What is going on here? And that's when I started doing the research for the Oedipus thing. Because, you know, I started this podcast and it's supposed to be about sexuality. And that is directly linked to sexuality. And why are they choosing people who look like their parents, who act like their parents, who basically are their parent? It's just so weird. And then that's what's led me to these narcissistic, you know, mothers and narcissistic fathers, and because it's all interconnected. So here you go. Seduction and the Oedipal issues. In some cases, where the mother is seductive and sexualizes her relationship with her son, and I guess this can happen also with a father and a daughter, but we're not talking about that right now. It can be more damaging. So when she has used her son as a replacement for the husband who has walked out or left or is not emotionally there or is an addict and is not there, you know, because when you're an addict, your addiction is your mistress, right? Or, you know, if someone's a sex addict and they're with other people. This is what happens. Even without molestation, emotional incest may occur when mothers behave inappropriately with their sons in regard to the language, appearance, and manner. So, yeah. Becomes a really, really inappropriate. To a young boy, she's titillating and exciting. This overstimulates a possible, but often unconscious, attraction towards his mother. Ideally, a son becomes closer and identifies with his father as a masculine role model. The potential for this is exacerbated where the father is absent, or if a divorced mother denigrates and alienates her ex-husband. And this is what I was talking about in the podcast too. You know, you need to find, if your husband leaves you, or if there's a divorce and, you know, he's not around as much or as much as he should be, you need to find a positive male person in your life to sort of fill that void for your son. Because if he doesn't get those things that he's supposed to be getting with a father that is supposed to be present in his life, he needs to get it from maybe an uncle, maybe one of your brothers doesn't mind stepping in and hanging out with, you know, his nephew a little bit more, or taking him on the same sort of things that he takes his own kids on, and making him sort of a surrogate son. Something needs to be done like that. I was mentioning that. Left unresolved, some sons believe, whether accurately or not, that their mother loves them more than her husband. My God. Instead of surrendering defeat, which they've talked about this, and that's why it's important to have a father in your life and have a father in the marriage, is because if a son will have feelings for his mother, and if there's no one there to challenge him, i.e. the father, that he can't have his mother, and then he doesn't come to the realization that he can't have his mother because there's nobody there to challenge him. The father is gone. There are no male counterpoints there. And so he feels like he gets to have his mother. It's sick, but that's, you know, there's a lot of, you know, sexual mumbo jumbo, all that stuff that goes along, explanations as to why incest doesn't happen, why we as human beings realize incest shouldn't happen, is because, you know, there's the father that's always there, right? Okay. You know, base instincts, right? Okay, so instead of surrendering defeat, he's inflated and victorious over his father. This dynamic damages the son's adult intimate relationships. It may also impair his self-concept as a man, since he sees his father, who should be a positive role model, as failing. A father's nurturing relationship with his son helps them bond and for the son to resolve his inner conflicts. So if he doesn't bond with his father, then his inner conflicts are not, you know, taken care of, right? Just as daughters of narcissist mothers experience their mother's envy and competition, a narcissist mother may be jealous of her son's girlfriends and or wives and compete with his wife. Which, oh, I went through that. I went through that in my relationship. It was crazy, you know, because I didn't grow up with that. I didn't feel like I had to compete for my parents' attention. I didn't. So when it was happening, it was very overwhelming. When my ex's mother was trying to compete with my attention, wouldn't cut the apron strings. I just thought it was typical mother-in-law stuff because you hear so much about this. But like I'm saying, like I've been keep saying through these two podcasts, this is a sickness that's going on within a lot of families, and now I see why. Because it's constantly men leaving women behind alone to raise children alone, and so forth and so on. So we talked about that in the other podcast. And it's happening far too often, so now we've got this cycle of narcissistic abuse going on. And, you know, is anybody really to blame for the way that they're acting? Because it's sort of psychologically described and in textbooks as to why this happens, right? Okay, so the mother will compete with the girlfriend or wife for her son's attention because she's had his attention her whole life. She's never had to compete for it, right? And now here comes another woman. Now she has to compete, you know, and it almost to that mother probably feels like being married to somebody and then a woman tries to come in and steal your husband away. So that's the way these mothers feel about their sons, because they're so enmeshed with them, then it's a sick relationship. So when a natural succession of a girl comes in, a girlfriend or a wife comes in, which is what is supposed to happen, right? They've grown up, they need to go get married and cut the apron strings and go off and have their own family. For the mother who is so enmeshed with her son in a sick way, it's like he's cheating on her. And so she's going to do whatever she can in her power to make you go away. Or to make you miserable so that she can have him and you won't. And she'll win, right? It's so messed up. Okay, so no one will be good enough. No woman will be good enough for this guy. Because no one will measure up to her inflated self-image of herself and her standards, right? She must remain number one in his life. She may try to control and undermine his intimate relationships, criticize or disrespect his partner, or do so subtly with innuendo and manipulation. Her son will feel hopelessly guilt-ridden and caught in the middle, trying to avoid hurting and angering his mother and the partner, who may also be a narcissist or otherwise mentally unstable. He feels guilty, is unaware of the appropriate boundaries, and unable to set them. And I can tell you that that happened with me. I eventually moved, like I lived 50, 55 miles away, and he would come down to see me all the time. And he was talking about moving down with me and being with me. And really, I should have insisted on it. If I had known the kind of mother he had, I would have insisted on it, because I had clear boundaries with my family. They knew what boundaries they could not cross, and they didn't cross them because they knew I wouldn't talk to them if they crossed those boundaries. I would cut them off if they crossed those boundaries, and they knew it, and that's why they never crossed them. So that was respect. That's just respect for me as an adult, right? So when he got me to move up here, there's a couple times he was trying to ask me to move 55 miles away from my home, and I said no, and he got really upset about it. And what I didn't realize is that he was being pressured by his mother and his sister to not move down with me, to stay here and make me move up here. And boy, he kept pushing and pushing until he got me to do it. And I thought, well, he's already got a house here, and why not? Well, he was going to sell his house here and move down with me, because he knew that, you know, I really didn't want to move to a smaller place or a smaller town. I really didn't want to live here. And so he knew in order to keep me and to stay with me, he would have to move. Now, looking back at it, hindsight being 2020, I wish I had made him move. I wish I said, no, I'm not moving up with you. You move down with me or this is over, right? So, and then the cycle of abuse started. Then I had his sister and his mother doing what they say in these articles and what I've discussed, they said in those videos, you know, making my life a living hell. They just made my life a living hell. And there were a few points along the way where he went and yelled at him and just said, you know, back off, because he knew that if they didn't back off, he was going to lose me. He was going to lose me altogether, and he didn't want to lose me. So that's what I was saying, is he tried to break away from that. And the reason that they didn't like having me around is because he was breaking away from them, right? I was giving him the strength to break away from them, because he loved me that much that he wanted to break away from them. He wanted to have a life with me, and he knew that what they were doing to me. And I think at some level, he saw what had been happening to him his whole life. And I think that's what I discussed in the other podcasts. I think there are people who end up going, oh my gosh, this is what's been going on. I need to get out of this. my mother's enmeshed with me, my sister's involved in this enmeshment, whatever. I need to get away from this. This is sick. When someone finally realizes what's being done to them, right? And he did. And he had, apparently had addiction problems that I didn't know about before I met him, all because of what they're explaining in this article. That is how they try to escape their enmeshment with their mothers, right? Okay. And he would feel guilty. Yeah, they say that he feels guilty and is unaware of the appropriate boundaries and able to set them. He was trying so hard to set the boundaries, but he had not been taught those in his life as he was growing up. So, yeah, I've seen it happen. Okay, the damage to sons of narcissist mothers. Like sons of narcissist fathers, sons of narcissistic mothers don't feel loved for who they are, but only for what they can do for their parents' approval. Because appearances are all important, their children must look and act in ways that reflect positively of them. Love, if given at all, is conditional. Now, that's another thing that came up in my relationship. We were out with his nieces, so we would take them and they would spend the night with us. And we were out to dinner with them, and one of the youngest one got up on her chair and was singing, and I just thought it was really cute. I just thought she was absolutely adorable. And he was getting embarrassed. He was getting embarrassed because everybody was looking at us, and some people were like judging negatively that she was doing in this, right? And that I was allowing her to do it, that we were allowing her to do it. And he got upset and he's like, well, people are getting upset that she's standing on a chair. And I'm like, who cares? Who cares what they think? She's having fun. She's enjoying herself. She's a little girl. Let them judge whatever. They're probably, they were probably narcissistic men and women too. So he really got irate about it. And I was just like, wow. It was like one of those moments that I was like, should I have kids with this man? Should I? Is this how he's going to treat our children? He's doing this to his nieces. And he embarrassed them in front of everyone at this restaurant. And I told him later, I said, you ever do that again to them, we're over. We're over. I'm like, that was so extreme. I can't even believe you did that. These are little girls. You don't do that to little girls. And I said, don't ever do that again. And if this is this how you're going to treat our children? Because I'm having second thoughts about having children with you at this point. Because that's just how extreme it got. So yeah, that's what they're saying here. Love is given if it's given at all, is conditional. Now we're back to your article. It's not based on understanding, appreciating, and accepting their son's unique true self. The son's value depends on the extent to which he aggrandizes his parents' ideals and egos. So, if you're not totally agreeing with your parents, then their love is conditional, which that's not the way it should be. If you have a kid, you're not always going to agree with them from the time they are born until the time they die or you die. You're not always going to agree with them. So you either have to love them unconditionally or, not have them in your life, right? This may include pressuring him into a parent's favored profession and to achieve successes of lifestyle his parents want. That was another relationship I was in. The first guy that I actually really fell in love with, his mother was so determined to have him be a doctor. And the reason why is she tried to get the older son to be a doctor. And let me tell you what he did. One quarter, his father passed away. I think he felt like his father, he was trying to do it for his dad because his dad always wanted to be a doctor. His dad was a lawyer, but his dad had always wanted to be a doctor. So I think he felt like he was being a doctor for his dad. His father passed away. And within, I would say, months, he only had 6 months left of medical school. He had completed medical school and he only had 6 months left in medical school. Now, that was graduating from medical school. He still would have to go on to the residency, right? He quit. He quit because his father was gone and he didn't feel the pressure to be a doctor anymore. He quit. And you know what he did? He ended up marrying his girlfriend, a doctor. She became a doctor. And he married her and became an insurance salesman. He had 6 months of medical school left and he quit. I think I would have at least graduated from medical school. I wouldn't have quit. I would have gone ahead and finished medical school. But to him, if he finished medical school, then he would have to go to residency. They would, you know, everybody would be like, well, God, you finished medical school, go to residency. He quit. And then the mother, then I realized it wasn't the father who was pressuring the son, it was the mother. Because then she fixated on my boyfriend and was pushing him to go to medical school. Well, long story short, we broke up. She got rid of me and she, he's a doctor now. So there you go. The enmeshed mother, right? All right, so the next thing to talk about here in the article is codependency. Whether or not sons have worldly successes, they risk growing up insecure and codependent. Their individual identity has never been supported. Their self-esteem and self-worth have been undermined by verbal abuse and lack of love to their authentic self. They learn to accommodate their mother by suppressing their needs, feelings, and wants. The denial handicaps them in adult relationships. They have different difficulty identifying and expressing their needs and feelings. They may self-sacrifice and feel undeserving without people pleasing. Where the father was unable to stand up to his wife to protect children from her controlling jabs, he fails to role model setting boundaries. As a result, a son can feel used, resentful, and exploited by women. Intimacy issues. When a son feels unsafe to express feelings and needs to his mother, it feels unsafe in an adult intimate relationship as well. So, when he moves on to have a wife or a girlfriend. Having been manipulated and emotionally abandoned, he feels being judged and or abandoned by his partner. Additionally, having been enmeshed with his mother, he feels being engulfed and controlled by an intimate partner. Thus, he'll avoid intimacy, prompting his partner to demand more closeness, which escalates his apprehension and defenses. Resentment. And this is resentment we were talking about that they have of their mothers who have enmeshed with them. From feeling controlled and or exploited, the son may harbor deep dislike toward his mother, even if he remains close. This often extends to other women. Generally, he will react to women with compliance, resistance, or anger. Some men will be aggressive and distrust women. Other men have learned to be manipulative or passive-aggressive. They overly accommodate, lie, or passively refuse simply requests from their partner as if they were their mother's demands. Their hostile behavior may eventually make their spouse act like their mother. Resentment and intimacy fears might drive them to be dishonest or unfaithful, especially if their father was. So their role model, their male role model. Repetition. Some sons of narcissists may develop a narcissistic personality disorder. Sons of narcissist mothers have higher rates of narcissism. This may be because she's more likely to idealize and aggrandize him rather than compete, as she would do with a daughter. Other sons may repeat their maternal relationships with women who are demanding, controlling, or abusive. They may partner with an older woman, a narcissist addict, or someone with a borderline personality disorder or other mental problems. They may become caretakers to their partner, just as they were to their mother, and find it hard to leave. To heal, a son must come to terms with his mother's disordered personality, his anger toward her, and his grief. Eventually, he needs to accept his parents with compassion, whether or not he likes or loves them. At the same time, he must recognize that he's worthy of love, learn to set boundaries with his mother's and others, and to value and express his needs and feelings. So, yeah, I mean, I think that that's something that I came to in my life is because I had those boundaries with my parents, and I also was able to step back and see my parents for who they were, why they had become who they were, you know, my grandparents, what they had done in my parents' life that made my parents become who they were. And, I didn't have a great, I came up in a, an abusive family. So, I was abused. So, for me to even be able to speak to my parents, they had to listen to me and understand what I was saying to them. They had to acknowledge what they had done to me, and then also then to continue a relationship with me, that they had to listen to my boundaries and what I needed in my healing process. And my father fought that, but my mother understood that if she was going to ever see me again, she was going to have to listen to what I was saying, because otherwise I was going to cut them off and never speak to them again. So they did what needed to be done in order to have a relationship with me, because they didn't want to lose me. And they admitted to the things that they did wrong. That is what I didn't see my the guy I told you that became a doctor and my ex-husband, I didn't see them doing. They just were too afraid to like stand up to their parents and say, "Hey, this is what I need from you. I'm an adult now. You need to stop treating me this way, and I need boundaries with you. And here are my boundaries, and this is how it's going to go if you want to be in my life." And that's pretty much what I said to my parents. Now, I will tell you, my other siblings did not do that with my parents. I was the only one who did, which made me the black sheep, right? Of course, my parent, all the rest of the siblings were better than me because I was the one who put that boundary up. Well, in the end, I think they appreciated me a lot more because our relationship was a much better relationship. It was an adult relationship that they didn't have with my other siblings. And so I think there's a lot of guys who are in those relationships, like I told you, my ex-husband and my, my first fiance. They can't stand up to their parents. They can't say, "Hey, this is what I need." And that's the problem. You're breaking the cycle of abuse, and you're stepping away so that your children can have a better life, so that you will not repeat that cycle with your children. So when you stand up to your parents, it may mean that you're going to have a strained relationship with them for the rest of your life. It may mean they may never talk to you again because you have set a boundary. But that is okay. You're allowed to set boundaries with your parents. You're allowed to set boundaries with people in your life. And if they can't handle that, if they don't respect you enough to listen to those boundaries that you need emotionally, mentally, in order for you to get through each day, right? Then they're not somebody you want in your life anyway. And there, people have criticized me for saying that. Oh, you'd separate from your parents? Yes, if they hadn't listened to me and what I needed. And I listened, and I was perfectly willing to listen to them and what they needed, right? And we had our discussions. But what I kept saying to my parents, and I had to drill it into their heads, is, "I'm not your child anymore. I'm an adult. And now that I'm an adult, this is what I need. And you and I are in an adult relationship now. I still care about you. I still love you. Yes, you're my parents, but we are adults now. And you are dealing with an adult. And yeah, you may always see me as your kid, but I am an adult now. And this is what I need, and this is what I want. And these are the reasons why." And I'd been going, I went to counseling. I was working on myself, I was going through, my breakup with my ex. A lot of things came out that I needed, and I realized why I'd gotten where I was, and it was because of the toxic dynamics in our family and the cycle of abuse that was continuing over and over again. And I saw what was happening with my grandparents that had gone to my parents and now was happening to us. And I wanted out. I wanted out of that cycle of abuse prison. And so that was something I didn't see my ex being able to do. He wasn't able to break away from that. He tried. He did try. And I think because he saw me do it, he started to try and do it, but he failed. He failed, and I'll give him that he at least tried, which is probably why our relationship lasted as long as it did, because he was trying to be an independent adult. And I think I gave him the strength to do that, because he had seen me doing it. So if you don't set those boundaries with your parents, if you don't change that dynamic with your parents, then you'll just fall right back into those old patterns, and it will affect your spouse. It will affect your children, and that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing, guys. If you are a narcissistic mama's boy, you need to change. You need to walk away from your mommy. You need to live probably three states away from your mommy so that she can't drive over to your house. You need to not be calling and talking to your mom every day. That's another thing that my ex did. He talked to his mother every day. The guy that ended up being a doctor, heck, he was living with his parents when we met him, but we were really young at that point, right? So, and I can tell you, over the years, that first guy, the guy who was a doctor, kept trying to get back together with me, kept trying to get back together with me, because he missed me, because I gave him that strength. Same thing with my ex-husband. I don't think he wanted me back because he said to me that he would do all the things that I needed him to do in order to keep our marriage together. And he said, if you want to move to California, pursue that work that you want to do, I'll do it now, right? And he, the house that you wanted to buy down in Cincinnati, I should have bought that house and da da da. So, he said a lot of things in the end that I was just like, well, it's over now, So I went ahead and divorced him and went on with my life. And, I can tell you, I've been a lot happier since I have not had to worry about my family and their enmeshment with me or their abusiveness since I set those boundaries and since I sent the boundary, set the permanent boundary with my ex-husband. I tried to set those boundaries within the marriage, but he couldn't do it. He wasn't capable. He wasn't ready. And he didn't, it's uncomfortable. Change is uncomfortable. And it's very uncomfortable, and it can be painful to change. And until you go through that, you can't get to the other side. Because it's really hard to change who you are or you feel you are at the core. It's not who you are, it's who you feel you are at the core. It's hard for a lot of these guys to change. These narcissistic mama's boys. And then what do we have? We have a cycle of abuse that is in our society. And I've talked about that in the last podcast. So, you have to go through the pain and the suffering of change, which is really hard because you're coming out of something you're used to. And a lot of people just want to stay in that. They want to stay in what they're used to, even no matter how toxic it is, no matter how harmful it is to you and the people around you. It's they just want to stay there because they feel comfortable there. And they're used to it. It's familiar. But what you have to do is you have to change. And that is tough and it's painful and it is far from familiar. It's scary sometimes for people because you're going into a different territory and it's anxiety ridden sometimes for people because they just want to keep reverting back to where they were. I did the podcast about people who had been sexually abused and were obese. They would we talked about how the people lost the weight, they got the counseling, they lost the weight, and then they went back out into the world, and it was too uncomfortable for them to deal with the opposite sex and the sexuality that comes from that because of their past. Being molested by an uncle or a father or whatever, right? Pedophilia, right? And so when they get into a normal adult relationship, all of those thoughts come back from the past. And it's painful and it's hard to get through it and you have to work through it. And so what did this woman do? She gained all the weight back and just went back to where she was. Because it was too hard to go through all the pain of dealing with what happened to her to get to the other side to where she could be in a normal relationship. She was triggered when she was trying to be in a normal relationship. So instead of getting counseling and working through it and taking those maybe years of recovery that it was going to take to get to the other side, she just reverted back to where she was before, where, yeah, hey, I'm obese, nobody wants me, I don't have to deal with sexuality, right? So same thing with these guys who are in these enmeshed, sick relationships with their mothers. Even if their mothers die, they're still in that relationship because they haven't done anything to work through it. And you would hope that they do something about it before their mothers die, so that they can work it out with their mother, right? So they can, you know, so she's there, so they can set those boundaries with her. Sorry, I keep sneezing. So she's there so that they can, you know, get to the other side of cutting that apron string, of becoming the full adult that they're supposed to be, of healing those enmeshments that they had with their mother and having her even realize what she's done to them, right? And acknowledge that. And then for them to acknowledge their mothers what their part of it, and it was, so that they can get to the other side. It's painful. It's hard. But then you're setting up your children and your future generations for a much healthier way of living. So, yeah, it's pretty obvious to me why this continues to happen. Because for men, men won't go to counseling. Men won't go to psychiatrists. You know, some do, and they end up with a better life. But it's really, if it's hard for a woman to go to a counselor and work through all of that and go through the pain of change, imagine what it is like for a man who is told that you shouldn't be going to counseling, you shouldn't be going, that's not manly, to do it and then try to work through it. So I think that that's why a lot of the cycle of abuses just keep continuing in our society, because men won't get help. And they just want to, you know, well, I'll just, you know, I'll just barrel through it and get to, you know, and live with it. No, that's not how you do it. Because you're going to hurt your children. You're going to hurt your spouse. You're going to hurt anybody you're in a relationship with. People that you work with, it's going to come out there. Acquaintances that you have, it's going to come out there. The friendships that you had, it's going to come out there. You are going to be the example to other people that you don't want to be. You're going to be a negative example in your whole life with everyone around you. Do you really want to be like that? Do you really want people to look back and say, God, I wish I had never met that person. God, I wish he had never been in my life. And oh, what a horrible person he was, right? No, you don't want that. Or do you want to be called a mama's boy for the rest of your life? Because that's what you are. You're a mama's boy. So in order to get out of that cycle, to help your children, to help your spouse, even if it's an ex-spouse or an ex-partner, to help your future partners, to help you, you need to go through counseling and work through these enmeshments and work through these issues that you have, work through the resentments and the angers that you have towards your mother to heal and get on the other side. Sadly, I don't see a lot of people doing that, women or men, and that's why so many, and I think that's like a cancer in our society, you know, is that people won't get help. They won't reach out for counseling and help, which is why we should have universal health care, which is why, you know, counseling should be included in that, so that we can have a healthier society. Our country is not healthy. We can obviously see with things that happened in the news, with what's going on with our ex-president and how sick he is. I mean, talk about sick in the head. That's one sick man. So, yeah, to conclude here, I just wanted to, you know, read an article that was psychologically based from a psychiatrist to kind of show you how the podcast I've done previously on Narcissistic Mama's Boys relates to, you know, textbook. It's textbook. It's been happening for years, and they know how to handle it. If you go to a psychiatrist or a counselor or a psychologist, they can help you to work through those issues and come out on the other side so that you don't pass that on to future generations. Until next time, Amherst Eclectic.